Hallelujah. The Lord's Spirit is in our midst this morning. You can feel Him, you can sense Him. He is with us this morning. I just want to, with your permission, first thank my wife. Yvonne, for introducing me so well. She knows me. I'm with her in South Africa. And I would like to extend my greetings to the beloved in Christ, the saints, my brothers. It doesn't matter where I come from. Where I come from, South Africa or Europe, the fact is we are one in Christ. You are my brother, I'm your sister, like it or not. Because the blood of Jesus did all that for all of us. So we have a family. And to the angel of the church, Reverend, the senior pastor, Reverend Gregory Jackson, and the first lady, Barbara, I want to submit myself to you, under you this morning, under your anointing. And I'm thrilled and blessed to be here this morning. You know, you reminded me of something, Reverend Jackson. In South Africa, once you come as a preacher, especially coming from other countries, the pastor gives you his pulpit. We don't want to know who you are, where you come from, as long as you are a servant of God. I move away, I give you my pulpit. Whether I've heard you before or not, as long as you come, because blessed are the feet that brings good news. And I'm grateful that today I'm allowed to stand before you and greet this holy church, the associate pastors, the ministers, and the choir, beautiful choir. Beautiful choir. But I doubt whether you sing like my church in South Africa. So you must come to South Africa to hear my church sing. But I'm blessed to be here this morning. And I'm not going to waste your time, but I want to bring a wonderful word from the Word of God to you this morning. I want you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 13. Jeremiah 13, from verses 1 to 11, the story of the linen belt. Jeremiah 13. From verses 1 to verses 11. And may I read it for you. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and bury a linen belt and put it round your waist. Go and buy a linen belt, and put it round your waist, but do not let it touch water. So I bought a belt, as the Lord directed, and put it around my waist. Then the word of the Lord came to me a second time. Take the belt you bought and are wearing round your waist, and go now to Pereth, and hide it there in a crevice in the rocks. So I went and I hid it at Pereth, as the Lord told me. Many days later, the Lord said to me, go now to Pereth. You know, God is playing games with prophets. Go now to Pereth and get the belt I told you to hide there. So I went to Pereth and dug up the belt and took it from the place where I had hidden it. But now it was ruined and completely useless. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord says. In the same way, I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. These wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who follow the stubbornness of their hearts and go after other gods to serve and worship them, will be like this belt, completely useless. For as a belt is bound round a man's waist, so I bound the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to me, declares the Lord, to be my people for my renown and praise and honor. But they have not listened. I'm going to ask you to read with me in whatever Bible and version you have, loud and clear, verses 11. I'll count 1 up to 3, and let's read it together. Don't worry, even if you make noise, everyone must concentrate on reading. 1, 2, 3. For as the belt is bound round a man's waist, so I bound the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to me, declares the Lord, to be my people for my renown and praise and honor, but they have not listened. A church is a sleeping giant. And unfortunately, this giant is fast asleep. There's so much this giant can do. But when the giant is asleep, he's asleep. The church is fast asleep. The church has power. Remember, the Holy Spirit dwells in us 24 hours a day. We are a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit dwells in us, can you imagine what great things we can do? We feel His presence now, Reverend Jackson. You know, it's nice in this church. You can feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. But once we get out of that door, once we reach home, it's all over. And I want to encourage you to keep the fire burning, to keep the giant awake. And one of the simplest way you can do that, one of the easiest way you can do that, can you just stop complaining and criticizing? A simple thing you can do is just shut up. We complain about everything. We complain about the pastor. We complain about the deacon. We complain about the bunny. We complain about uniform. We complain about... And I want to suggest to you a simple suggestion. I want the power in you to come out, to be felt by everyone around you. For the next 3 months, never complain. Yeah. 3 months, just say, if anybody does anything, say, wait. Just 3 months, I'll be back. After 3 months, you will know me. But for now, let the Holy Spirit does it. Let the Holy Spirit take control. As soon as you do that, I've been around people. I've been around people. And I just kept quiet. Their hair clinched. Tears come down without having done anything, but by being quiet. I just said, Lord, come, Lord. These people must see you. These people must know you. I'm not going to say, I've been saying this for how many years? I've achieved nothing. I have said many things for many years. Nothing has happened to my wife, to my children, to people in the church. Nothing has changed. You are not going to change anybody. You are not God. You are just Johanna and Johannes. Finish and clap. You are not going to change anybody. God will change people. The giant is fast asleep. If you go to the book of Jacob, chapter 3, it says a man who is able to control his tongue controls the whole body. You control your tongue, you control your whole body. You become matured overnight. You don't take years to become mature because you control what? Your tongue. I want to come to the passage we've just read. Jeremiah and Ezekiel were first priests before they became, or before they were called to be prophets. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Hosea, they were, these are the, especially these three, all of them they do, but especially these three, they were supposed to dramatize their message before they preach it. They were supposed to display, show it before they preach it. And I wish God could do that with today's preachers. We preach big. We preach style and good words. But life, which is very important, it's not there. I wish we can have these preachers. I wish God can just call us all and say, come on, all you preachers, come here. I want a meeting with you. As from now onwards, before you preach, demonstrate. Leave what I want you to preach. Because that's why today people are saying, you don't leave what you preach. You don't live what you preach. It's because preaching is easy. Preaching is a style. Preaching is words. In South Africa, so I can stand up here and do things. And at the end of the message, there's no message. It's just a style. So you've got to live what you preach. And God did this with Hezekiah. To Hezekiah, he said to the nation of Israel, he said to them, you are going to be a sign to them. You are going to be a sign to them. And you will do that which he tells you to do. You are going, chapter 24, verse 24, you are going first to be a sign. And after that, they will do exactly as what they saw. It was pity with these preachers, because they did things that they I wouldn't. In fact, if I was during those days and I'm called into ministry, I would say no, I'm not going into ministry, because you, God, you are going to make a show of me while you are doing your thing. You are going to first embarrass me. That's what you're going to do. Because you're going to embarrass me. I'm not going to do that. But then they had to do it. Ezekiel was told to shut himself inside the house. You know, a self-imposed house arrest. A self-imposed house arrest for many days to prove one point. That one day he's going to be tied up with ropes. He won't be able to talk to the people. So God asked him to lock himself in his house. He was asked to play a war. They asked him to draw a map of Jerusalem, and then plan how he was going to besiege Jerusalem. Somewhere, stupid things. He had to do that because God wanted him to do that. So he planned how to besiege Jerusalem. Hosea was asked to marry a prostitute. Can you imagine that? What's wrong with our God? What's wrong with our Father? A prophet, a priest, a prophet, God asks him to marry a prostitute. It's either he married a virgin which later became a prostitute, or he married a prostitute who fell back into his old ways. But he had to do that and give them names, give the children their names. But let's come to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was asked to go and buy this linen belt. This linen, this cloth, was used for priestly garments. So already you know that it means holy unto the Lord. He was asked to go and buy this cloth. I mean this linen belt. It was brand new. It must be brand new. So they asked him to put it around his waist. So carry on with your work, but do not wash the cloth. Don't wash the belt. So Jeremiah went on with his work, and it became dirty, and he could not wash it until he hears the Lord says, now you can wash it. But the Lord was quiet. For a long time, Jeremiah continued working, doing his work with this dirty cloth, and people were saying, come on, Jeremiah, what is this? What are you doing? Come on, wash this thing. And Jeremiah couldn't do that. But later, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and God said, the very belt you bought, I want you to take it now to Paris. I want you to take it to Babylon. I want you to go to the hills of Babylon. Find a place and put it in a crack. Leave it there. Jeremiah goes down to Babylon, gets a crack in a rock. He puts that very same belt there. He comes back home and he thought it was over. After many days, the Lord comes back and Jeremiah, let's go back to Babylon. So Jeremiah went down to Babylon and he looked for the cloth, found the place where he put it, scratched, and he found that it was muddy and it was wind, and he says it was useless. Can you just imagine, Lord, why do you allow me to do such a stupid thing? Walk all this way down to Babylon. Go to the hills and bury this thing. And when it is ruined, you ask me to take it out. What must I do with a ruined thing and a useless thing? Then the message came. Then God gave his servant a message. And the message is twofold. The first time, it shows Judah and Israel before they became useless. Yeah. Before they were ruined and became useless. Yeah. It gives us a wonderful picture, an amazing picture.
a giant. It gives us a picture of a giant. We see here God showing Jeremiah that Israel was like a belt around his waist. Israel was a belt around God's waist. But because it's difficult to understand that, God says, okay, you do it. You put it around your waist. Let them see through you. Let them see a prophet. Let them see a priest. What in this belt? How beautiful it is. They know it's holy unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of this land. But do not wash this belt. Do not wash this belt. Now let's look at this belt before. If you read the last verse, it says Israel, Judah, you are my people. There's a relationship between me and you, Judah, and Israel. You are my people. You belong to me. All these other nations are not mine, but you are a unique nation. You have a relationship with me. You belong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know these people who make it in life without Christ. I don't know how do you make it. But what I know is it's tough. Without Jesus, it's tough. You know it. You wake up in the middle of the night. You dream dreams that are horrible. You are afraid. You have a guilty conscience. Oh. But we have a relationship with God. The second thing is, he says, you are for my renown. You are to make me famous. You are to make me famous. You belong to me. You must make me famous. The world has its own ways of becoming famous. You have your stars, the Michael Jacksons, famous guys. Michael Jacksons. You have the Tiger Woods. Rich because of a golf stick. And they're on the news all the time. And God says, all of us were on the news. All of us, all those who belong to Jesus, are making God famous. Anywhere, everywhere, you make God famous. Yeah, you have to be somebody in the world. You've got to be somebody to become famous. But in God, whoever you are, whatever position, status you have, you make God famous. You are God's perfume. You are God's perfume. Hallelujah. You are God's perfume. God smells and he says, you know, sometimes you drive a car and as you are driving, you come across these young people. They're swearing, blowing the hood and smoking and I say, Lord, and he says, you see, Zach, leave them. You make me famous. You behave when you drive. You smile when you drive. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, God loves you. Our position, it's beautiful. Our position is wonderful. Then it carries on, it says, he says, you are for my praise. You are for my praise. You are there. You are the only one who gives me devotion. You are the only one who gives me reputation. You are the only one who respects me. So you are for my praise. That's the picture of Israel. In fact,
Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 2 from verses 1 to verses 3. It says, I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the desert, through the land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruit of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them. God was just protecting you. You are an apple of an eye to God. God loved you so much. You are for his praise. You are for his honor, for his adoration, for his appreciation, for his worship. That's what, look at what, we're here to do what?
Worship.
We're here to worship him. He expects that. Those who don't come to church on Sunday, pass off, you're in trouble. Those who go on Sunday for shopping, you are in big trouble. You are in big trouble. You are missing out because you are supposed to come together and do what? The Sabbath. The Sabbath is our day to do what? To worship. Yes, we've got other days, but the Sabbath, we come together to come and give God worship. Then he goes on, he relates to us how Israel was after. A very sad picture. He says, don't let it touch water. Then he ends by saying, they do not listen. Two things. Don't let it touch water. Now, if you're a child of God and you don't touch water, what will happen to you? You become hard. Pride steps in. Pride takes over. Hallelujah. Pride takes over. Pride starts creeping in. It's like a web. It comes in. Then you start having several things, unconfessed sins. You play games with God. And I have a saying that I normally say, don't trouble the trouble before the trouble troubles you. Don't trouble the trouble before the trouble troubles you. Let me say something. It's a statement which is very, 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 very strong. Most of us who are today adults are reaping what we did while we were young in Christ. And the Lord will say, no, Zach, don't pray for them. No, we pray for them, Lord. The marriage is hitting the rocks. We pray for them. Their business is running down. God says, no, 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 no. While they were young, they dishonored me. It's now my payback time. So it's important as a young person to make sure that you live right and you live for the glory of God as a young person. Because you are going to reap what you sow. Not in heaven. You are going to get a wrong husband. You'll get a wrong job. A wrong house. You'll get a car that will cause problems for you. Your children. You'll take them every week to the hospital. It's now your payback time. God expects us during our youth to walk. Because he wants to do what? He wants to use us. God wants to use us. So what happens is we start doing things, we hide. You know, we play hide and seek. Seek and hide. We start doing that. We start messing up. And as we mess up, we think God is the God of love. God forgives. God will always forgive you. He says, yes, I will, but I will get you. Yes, I'll forgive you. 100 times. 70 times 7, I'll do that. But I will get you. I'm
going to pay back. I'm going to teach you a lesson. Like the Israelites. You know the story of the cloth hidden in the crevice? It shows that Israel was going to be taken to Babylon. And in Babylon, God was going to deal with Israel, not kill Israel. He's not going to kill Israel. He's going to deal with Israel, deal with Israel's pride, deal with Israel's sins, and bring him back. He'll bring him back a changed person. God is definitely going to get you. We have young people here who are playing with pornography. They go hardcore kind and sophisticated varieties, which are called faceless sex, and they come on Sunday.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God knows all these things. God sees all these things. If God were to talk this morning, God will call us one by one. Zach, come here. Joyce, come here. Peter, some of us. Because God will call, come. Come, I know what you did last night. I know what you did this week. I'm no fool. I'm no fool. God knows about the way, you know, you've got extramarital affairs and you lie big time. You lie big time. You play as if you are clean. We normally shift the blame. You shift the blame to the other. You cannot come clean and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I've sinned against you. There's a lot of disobedience. You've got men and women who listen to biblical truths for many years. Many, many years. Since childhood. And today, they're confessing terrible sins. And you ask yourself, didn't you hear the scriptures? Didn't we teach you? You came out of my hands, Jackson's hand, and me. But the heart is deceitful. The heart can cover up. The heart knows how to steal. One youth leader said, you know, these kids who work with me, they claim to be saved. But if they are saved, if they are saved at all, I think it's only from the waist upwards. Can you get it? I think it's from the waist upwards. Downwards, these kids are naughty. These kids are silly. That's what these kids are. In closing, God says they will not listen. Then he paints a terrible picture about Israel. He says they are a broken city. You know, where you get water. Your well, it's a broken well. That's in chapter 2. He says they drink from foreign rivers. They drink from foreign rivers. They leave me here. I'm their God. I'm the one who blesses them. I'm the one who protects them. They leave me here. They go out to worship other gods, the Baals. He says they are camels and donkeys in heat. You know when a camel and a donkey that wants a man, it you don't go to it, it comes to you. So he says there are camels and donkeys in heat. And lastly says they are guilty thieves. It's a terrible picture about Israel. Let's awaken the sleeping giant. And I said to you, just try and be quiet. Try to zip your mouth.
Spend your time in prayer. Read the word of God. Come to church. And when you get home and things are hard, keep quiet. Just say, Lord, for this 3 months, can you take care of that one? I will see it after 3 months. And surely, Lord, I will do it. After 3 months, I'll talk to this young man. After 3 months, we'll sit and talk with my husband about what he's doing. But for now, and you tell him, my husband, I'm quiet now. But after 3 months, after 3 months, you will get me. Tell your boss, boss, I'm quiet. For 3 months. Let's check the date. It's the 12th today. And after 3 months, do it again, you'll get me. But for now, I'm holding my horses. For now, I'm holding my horses. For now, I'm giving God a chance. And see that before 3 months, how many things will God solve for you? We must have a repenting spirit. We must be prepared to repent. And I want to end up by saying, we are strong when we confess. We are very weak when we hide. The more you hide, the more weaker you become. But when you confess, you become a giant. When you confess, you clean your room. You clean yourself. When you confess, you allow the Holy Spirit to go through your mind, your head, your hands, your feet, your tummy. You allow the Holy Spirit to sink into your life. I'm not going to leave you out. You may have come here this morning as a visitor. Some are invited by God to come to this church this morning. No one invited you. But it's the voice of God that said, wake up and go to church this morning. And God will continue to do that. He'll call those he wants to call. But what it's time to do is to call you to salvation. He wants you to come and meet him as your savior. He wants you to accept him as Lord. And maybe you are in our midst this morning, and I want to give you that opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want to live this life with you. For what is life without you? I've already experienced that. I'm now 17 years, I'm now 20 years, I'm now 30 years, I haven't enjoyed anything. Money does not bring the peace and the satisfaction. And I take your word, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm coming to you this morning. And maybe perhaps in our midst, we are doing things, we are wonderful Christians, but we are doing things that annoys the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is saying to you this morning, you will reap what you sow. That's for sure. I'm not going to leave you. And I do not forget. I'm God. I do not forget. If you want us to fight, not now while we are young. Because as long as we are young, we beat God. God is afraid of us. But he knows how to hit back when we are a little bit older. He knows how to bring arthritis. He knows how to bring cancer. He knows how to bring a headache that never stops. Because you undermined him. You undermined his word. He is going to forgive you, but you must feel the pain first. You must go through it. Our prayers are not going to help you. you've got to go through pain first and know that He is God. I want to challenge you this morning. Before trouble comes, surrender your life to Christ. Commit yourself afresh to Him. Allow Him to be your Lord once more. I'm going to ask Reverend Kukore to make it.